Welcome back to the Workspace Podcast. I am your host, Justin Moran. Today's guest is Darren Fitzgerald. Darren owns a company called Arty Media, which is a video production company located in Hingham, Mass. We had a great discussion on the proliferation of video everywhere. Darren has a very creative background, but really understands business, marketing, and most importantly, a return on your investment. So please sit back, listen, and enjoy. Hey, Darren, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So today we're talking about video. And if you're online at all on any social media platform or any website, you see a lot of video out there. It's a trend that's not going away, I guess. It's only growing.
Yeah.
You're a video expert. And so I figured we'd take some time today and talk a little bit about what it means for small business. It's a medium that I have not dipped my toe in at all. Mm-hmm. I probably should, since it's a real estate play. It's a people play in the workspace business.
Right.
But I think it would probably do wonders for my business, quite frankly. But for whatever reason, I'm just a little bit skittish on it. So
yeah,
I think we should talk today a little bit about those feelings. I don't think I'm alone, first of all.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, I mean, literally, since I opened the doors in 2012, so much of what I do has been about educating people and sort of dispelling the myths or just acknowledging the fact that you're having these feelings. You're not alone. People think of video and it's this bright, shiny object to begin with.
Right.
And then when they are like, oh, well, we want to do some video. And the boss says that, and then he tells somebody else, the business development or marketing person, go find out how much it's going to cost.
Right.
You know, and that's where the conversation wants to begin from prospects. And really, it's about just backing away from that for a moment and saying, okay, you want a video. Well, let's do a deep dive. Let's have a real conversation about, you know, what do you envision, number one? What is this video that you think you want to make? And then let's talk about your business. You know, what are your visionary goals? Where do you want to be in 3 to 5 years?
Right.
What are your company goals? What are you working on in the next 12 to 18 months? What are your marketing goals? What are your tactics, current marketing tactics? What's working? What's not? Mm. And then all the way back down to, okay, we're making that video that you think you want. Where is your prospect going to watch that video? Do you want them to watch it on your website? Do you want them to watch it on social media? And then after they watch that video, what is their next click? What action are they going to take? And is that action going to help them achieve a specific business goal?
So already you're making way more sense than most people are thinking about video, because you know, throwing up a video for the sake of putting video because everyone else is doing it is not the way to think about it, you're saying.
Yeah.
So how does it really fit into the last 12, 18 months of strategic planning that you've put into your marketing plan and all that?
Exactly.
So break that back out and think about where video might make sense. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just this behemoth. Unless you get into that in-depth conversation, it's always going to start with, we just want to know how much this is going to cost. Well, it's that old thing, well, how much does a house cost?
Right.
It's a silly thing, but you really do. You have to break it out. What's the purpose, you know? And I think the other part of it is that it's not like your website, you know, where, let's say 5 years ago, 7 years ago, people were still saying, well, you got to have a website. That's kind of where we are with video now. But with video, it's not like this one thing. It's 50 different things. There are literally 50 plus different kinds of video that you can make that all have different purposes, different value to your viewer.
So let's dive into that a little bit.
Sure.
What are the sort of top three buckets that your promotional videos are falling into for businesses today?
Think about it. Where might a business begin with video?
Okay.
And I think the no-brainer, the one that has perhaps the widest usefulness reach, is the brand video. You know, who you are, what you do, what makes you different and special.
Yeah, what the company stands for.
And why should your prospect choose you over your competitors, right? So that video, that brand video, does a couple different things. Not only gives this, you know, nuts and bolts kind of overview and, you know, really gives people a sense of either your line of products or your services and where you excel. But what's more important is that you as a business owner or your subject matter experts have the chance to get on camera, maybe in an interview setting, and answer some specific questions. And then by seeing that as a prospect, we're actually unconsciously making this bond with you. We're making decisions about whether we like you, you know, and whether we trust you, and whether we believe what you're saying and you know what you're talking about. So you get this instant credibility. And I come back to the idea of the website. That's what the website's about, right?
Right. That might be like your front page video where it's like, here we are. Here's what we stand for.
Okay,
so that makes sense.
Yeah, so the brand video is exactly, most often we do put it on the homepage.
Yeah.
Because for so many businesses, they even if you get a warm referral, you know, it's like then the first thing you're going to do is go to that website of the business that somebody suggested you should take a look at.
Yeah.
And then you can watch that video and then you're in deep and then you're like, oh, okay, you've received so much more information than you could in, let's say, 1 to 2.5 minutes in a video than you could by reading like 10 pages.
Right.
And here's an amazing stat.
Okay.
That people aren't aware of. When a person watches a video versus reading the same information, they will retain 95% of what they see in that video, while they will only retain 10% of the information that was in the written form.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know what that's about? That's just about us as a species for thousands of years receiving information visually and orally and reacting because we just don't want to get eaten by that tiger.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what it's about. It's science. There's a reason that video is just taking off and taking over as
yeah.
what it should.
Okay, so there's that brand bucket, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What if we actually want to sell something? Is there a bucket for product videos?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a couple different ways to go about that. You know, a lot of times with product videos, just, you know, people just want to see it in action. They want to know it works. They want to know what the differentiating aspects of it. Why is it a better product than the guy has down the street? You know, why should I buy this one from Home Depot or from you as the direct reseller or mm-hmm. from Lowe's? Why should we get it from you? What's different? What's important? And then the other part of it is often what you can do is not only show it in action, but then there might be a how-to. You know, how are we helping you solve a specific problem with this product? So that's a great place. And just otherwise, in terms of types of videos, another area that we like is the testimonials.
I was just about to say that.
Right.
Putting your customers on the video, I see that as a big trend.
Social proof, right?
Okay. Ooh, new term, social proof.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what it is.
All right.
It's people telling, you know, their experience with your service, with their product. And the beauty part is, and what we often try to do, both in the brand video and even in a product video,
yeah.
is get some people on camera talking about how you've helped them solve that problem or take advantage of that opportunity
yeah.
that they needed to get hold of.
I had a question rolling around in the back of my head as you yeah. were talking just there about service companies. So much of our economy is driven today by service rather than product.
Absolutely.
So how does video benefit a service company if you're actually not showing a widget on a video and sort of a how-to?
Mm-hmm.
But I think you just said it right there. It's the testimonial of, you know, I worked with XYZ consulting company and we went from, you know, this revenue to that and mm-hmm. the rest of it. So,
well, yeah, let me break that out. Let's use the brand video again.
Go ahead.
So my very first client was Michael Handrahan, HandrahanRemodeling.com. That was 6 years ago now.
Okay.
Coming up on 7 as of January. They still have their brand video on their website front and center. And there's a reason for that. So it's general contractor
yep.
service. But what was beautiful about this video is we got Mike talking what they do, how they do it, you know, their areas of specialty, all the different things that they could make, and telling these wonderful stories about basically getting a client who called him up and said, can you help me install a microwave? And of course, they do that. And then 2 years later, he basically built them a new house.
Wow.
You know, so
yeah.
that's what it's about. And then what was also great about this video is that we actually went into the home that Mike had redone and had the owner on camera as the testimonial
right.
and showed the work, the end product, and talked about the process. So it's incredibly valuable. At the end of the day, you know, what makes Mike's so good at what he does, you know, he's professional.
Right.
That was a beauty part of telling that story. It still resonates today,
right,
because it's the truth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That helps.
Exactly. Yeah, so much of our economy is service-based, so the proof is in the pudding with the experience that mm-hmm. your customer enjoys having done work with you. So if you could somehow quantify that and record it, I could see that being very valuable.
Yeah. And for different kinds of businesses, you know, you can really get out and break out the stats. You know, if you as a service provider are tracking key performance indicators of how your service is helping people to solve their problems, well, then you need to get that and track it and get it in print, or obviously throw it in front of me as a producer and say, well, you know, how can we work these important stats in? Because they're part of the story. Well, that's what we do. We just figure out what part of the story they are, whose voice it needs to come from, whether it's from the end user, from the provider themselves, and that's just part of the process.
Cool. So getting back to the ROI, I think you mentioned it briefly mm-hmm. earlier. You know, we're all looking very closely at exactly every dollar that we spend as business owners. If a video has a specific call to action, explain how you weave that in and drive the customer back to whether it's a website or a shopping cart, or how does that all work with video today?
Yeah. So let me kind of back out of that for just a half a second and say that part of the process when we're deciding where your ideal client, your prospect is going to watch your video is to ask the question, you know, what action do you want them to take?
Right.
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 So I would say, and most people don't realize this, but 90% of the time, especially for service or even product-based companies, you want them to watch that video on your website. Why? Because that is where your conversion is going to take place.
Okay.
So let's use Mike again, the contractor.
Yeah.
They get him to the website. They watch the video. They're getting ready to do a bathroom or kitchen remodel. They go, they dig in deeper. They go to those pages. They look at all the photos. They read all the blurb. What's the ultimate conversion you want? Well, hey, you want them to pick up the phone or fill out your form or send you an email to set up the consultation. And that's where Mike gets a chance to come in, show his expertise, present a bid, an estimate, a quote, however you want to call it, and then it's on him to close it. Mm. So talking about ROI, so how do we track that?
Yeah.
Well, what we did with Mike's videos, we said, you know, we didn't have any Google Analytics going on that we were tracking. We weren't really looking at how people were watching their engagement per mm-hmm. se. But what we said was, okay, every time someone makes contact with you, whether it's email or whatever it is, and you get them on the phone, there are two questions you ask them. Did they visit your website? Number one. Mm-hmm. You know, how did they find you? Number two. Number three, did they watch the video? And did that have an impact on their decision to call you? So you ask those questions, and you've got your little, you know, manual Excel spreadsheet and the name of the customer, and you check the boxes off.
Yeah.
And so we tracked that, and 18 months later, you know, we found that 85% of the people had visited the website and 80% of the new leads had watched the video. And after that first 18 months, their new leads had gone up by 25% and their sales year over year had gone up 20% with the final quarter of that year yet to be tallied in, where the majority of their largest jobs were being completed. So there was a big uptick there after the last quarter as well.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
There's tools now that allow you to sort of automate that tracking process. It's no longer the tallying with the spreadsheet, I'm sure, but you can do a lot better as far as...
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to talk about one particular tool that we have, we provide private video hosting. I mean, everybody and their brother will tell you, oh, you got to be on YouTube or you got to be on Vimeo or whatever. And, and I'm always like, you're basically just giving away your SEO. Yes, you might show up in the search, but what are they going to do? Click on your video, then they're on YouTube. And do you ever get them back to your website?
Right.
I'll tell you how often that happens. Less than 1% of the time do they leave the YouTube environment to actually convert, click back to the website where you want them to be.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I mean, there's just too much going on there. They can just continue shopping and watching more videos. No, you want your video, that video thumbnail, the actual little picture that looks like a player, to come up in your Google search when they do the search for you. You want that to come up and they click on it and bam, they're right back at your website, right?
So the video that you're helping your clients with lives natively on their website most of the time. Is that what you're saying?
Most of the time. Hmm. But then, you know, if they have a particular bent that where they're all about, we need to really contact our audience and we need to reach them on Facebook because that's where we're finding so many of them live. Or we need to find them on LinkedIn. We need to bring them back. Well, listen, we made a 2.5-3 minute video. Well, why don't we just take and make a 15 to 30 second social media teaser as a part of the package we're putting together for you. And that's specifically just to say, oh, you want to learn more? Here's the video to grab your attention as you're looking through the LinkedIn or Facebook feed. And, you know, we're putting closed captions on that so that I don't have to turn the sound on. And then if they do want to, they just tap it and they can hear it and they engage. And they're like, oh, yeah, I really would like to learn more. And then, boom, they click over and the next thing you know, they're on your website. That's where you want them. So all this thinking goes into it. It's not just like you have to make this choice of where do I have to be? I can only be there. No, we break it out. We help you solve the problem.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring up that because I've had this discussion a lot lately as far as reusing content. I mean, content is king, especially original content. We're making original content right now.
Right.
And you want to be able to leverage the time you put into making that content across multiple platforms for multiple campaigns and different messages. So, you know, I'm sure your time is valuable and obviously worth it, but how do you work with a client to create multiple snippets, multiple little vignettes, if you will, for the entire year in one project?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, to be honest, it doesn't happen that often. That is a particular type of endeavor. I'll give you an example. Recently, I had a local realtor come to me and he had put his own scripted video on his iPhone mobile device and, you know, recorded it. And he was picking up the words off of a laptop and it was not good. And he knew that. And he said, I want to make this better. So I brought him into the studio. And basically, he had these six scripts, which were anywhere from a minute to about 3 minutes long. And so we put all of his scripts on a teleprompter right in front of the camera so he could look into the camera, pick those words up off the page, personalize them, get his message out there. But at the end of the day, you know, we got done shooting and everything. And I said, you know what? You're telling me you want to use these in an ad campaign, a Google Words ad campaign. You want to go out there and you really want to target your audience or you want to target them on Facebook. You need to make these things digestible. You're going to have them out there. You're going to have them out there on social media. Mm. Make one point. Don't make 3 points.
Right.
Don't try to win them all in one go. Just get in there and answer one question in 30 to 60 seconds and get out. It's all there. It's written that way. I can already see that you can break it out that way.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. Tell your editor to think about these as bite-sized pieces. Mm. And, you know, we just made a nice adjustment for him there. Now he's got a way forward. I guess the one wonderful thing that we wish more business owners, corporations, nonprofits would take advantage of is the most valuable asset that they have. They don't even realize that they're not using, which is the questions that they are asked every day. Mm. So any one of us in a business answers the same 5, 10, 15 to 20 questions.
Absolutely.
Repeatedly.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, hey, why don't we break each one of those questions out and answer them very specifically, very succinctly, in their own separate videos.
We can all get lost in our own Kool-Aid and come up with all these fancy marketing slogans, if you will. But at the end of the day, no one cares about anything but the questions in their head.
That's right.
So if you answer them up front, you're that much closer to the sale. Yeah. I love it. Okay.
Yeah. And so as a proof of concept, and I started building this in 2013.
Yeah.
I built my own video frequently asked question series. And you kind of touched on this in a previous podcast with Dave de Blasio, which is great.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, I'll use your podcast as an example. He said, well, you should take each one of these titles and break them out and put them on their own page and then put the transcription there and make sure the title is keyword rich.
Yep.
And so, you know, if people are out there trying to get their questions answered and you happen to be able to help answer that question, solve solve their problem by, boom, getting them to that specific web page that you have, and they listened to your podcast, and well, now you're an authority,
right?
You know, and so they might continue to digest other bits of your podcast that are going to be helpful to them and problems they're trying to solve. It's about building authority. And so that's a very sort of tertiary thing for you. It's a value add because you're just providing overall authority, but you can get very specific in your business, you know, in what service or what product you're providing to the end user by answering all those questions and breaking each one of those videos out on their own separate page so that they are video optimized and SEO optimized, which are actually two different things. And that way, by having video on that specific page, you're also just lifting up your opportunity to come up much higher in the search engine result page.
Google loves video, no?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What does it say? It says you had the forethought and the authority to invest in video because it is an investment.
Right.
And so we as Google value that. We understand that this is part of what makes you an authority in your field.
I didn't realize they're thinking about it like that, but it makes sense, yeah.
It's about the end user's experience, and I'll take it all the way back to 2013 when they rolled out Hummingbird, and this was the inspiration for my thought process of creating the video FAQ series, is that Hummingbird was all about how do we better understand keywords, multiple keywords, and start to understand context so we can really understand, as Google, what are they searching for? What are they asking? What problem are they trying to solve?
Hmm.
And so light went off in my head, and I said, well, the next thing that happens after this is the importance of voice search, and that's where we are right now. What's beautiful about that, and again, how this ties back to the video FAQ series, is that people are picking up their mobile device, or they're talking to Alexa, or they're talking to their home device, and they're asking questions in natural language.
Whoa.
And that's what Hummingbird was about, was context in natural language.
Huh.
Flash forward to today, somebody does a search and asks, how do I prove return on investment? ROI for video production. Go ahead and do that search.
Yeah, right.
I think you're going to find me on page number one for that search.
No kidding.
Yeah. You know, how much does a video cost in Boston? I'll be there, you know, probably in
right there.
First or second page. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is a video FAQ series? Go ahead and ask, okay, Google, you know, what is a video FAQ series? You are going to find that I pretty much own that page of search engine results.
Okay, so now the technology is getting smart enough to, dare I say, listen to video and bring that to the forefront.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Can Google actually digest your video and know what is being said? We're not quite there yet, but we have tools to help Google. So what are we going to do? As part of our video optimization, we are going to create closed captions, which Google can scrape and read, right?
Yeah.
Also, if possible, if we have the real estate on a given web page, we're going to create a video transcript. Again, that is something that Google is going to crawl and index, right? You know, you're getting the biggest bang for your buck out of the search engine optimization, specifically the video search engine optimization, on top of everything you're going to do on page for video SEO.
So I've probably been five or six people that have said you should start making a transcript of all your podcasts, and it's just another thing that I've blown off. But now I think I get it.
Okay, and here's why. You talked about repurposing.
Yeah.
Well, and don't do it yourself. There are services out there who will do it.
Right.
Right? And it's not incredibly expensive, but where you see the value in it is, well, then you have all these quotes from subject matter experts that you can repurpose, whether you want to, you know, quote them directly in a, let's say, a blog post that you want to write.
Yeah.
You know, or however you're going to reuse that. You've got
a
myriad of options here.
So let's take a step back and just talk a little bit about your career and how you got to where you started a company in 2012 focused on this.
So this is a long and sordid story.
Yeah. I think we all have one of those.
No, but I mean, this is not uncommon that all of a sudden people end up somewhere else than where they started. And I was in New York City for almost 20 years, having graduated from a conservatory program, earning a Bachelor of Fine Arts in acting.
No kidding.
You know, one of the top schools in the nation, and
cool.
Went to New York to just bang it out and act as much as possible. Did everything from sketch comedy, sold out shows at Caroline's Comedy, to, you know, Shakespeare, to student films, to background work on television and films in New York. And then all the while, what are you doing? Well, you got to make a living otherwise as well, just to keep practicing your craft. So I'm waiting tables, and then I'm bartending mostly. And I'm also doing things like learning desktop publishing and learning Illustrator and Photoshop. And then eventually I'm learning Final Cut and Premiere Pro editing suites, and then animation. And, you know, you're doing all these things concurrently. And eventually, you know, my comedy group that I was a part of, we lost a major member right, you know, moments before we were about to get the big meetings with, you know, the industry experts. One guy decides, I'm going to go to Michigan and do theater there. Like, okay, all right.
Now
love
what?
Love you, buddy. Yep. Take care. So then, you know, we just decided after some time that it was a lot of work to produce live shows. So we were going to just start doing some video. So we just set up a green screen and shot a bunch of stuff. And then basically over the next year with my mentor, who is a supremely gifted animator and editor's offices in Times Square, he and I on Mondays, whenever he had available, I just pop in, and I basically just was a production artist for helping us build virtual sets and create the graphics and just flesh out everything that we had envisioned when we shot on green screen. And so that's sort of the nuts and bolts of how I creatively move forward. But the sort of the interesting business end of this story is very specific. And it took place when I was working at a five-star, five-diamond hotel in New York, flagship of North America, mid-2009, right after the crash. Okay, so on this particular hotel, they had four different food and beverage outlets. They had just closed one of the outlets 6 months earlier. Then they came to us one Friday and said, we are going to close you down for the summer. And I worked Friday, I worked Saturday, I had Sunday, Monday, and off. I said, you know, that's crazyville. So I went home and I wrote a two-page letter. The first page was, you know, some prose about why this was just not a good business decision.
Yeah.
And really painted, arguably, a very eloquent picture of why it was a huge mistake. And then on the second page was basically a business plan, including schedules and statistical breakdowns of, you know, how they could, within the rules of the union bylaws, create a new schedule, which, you know, helped them take advantage of things like we were sharing a kitchen with the bar. Well, you know, just on food costs alone, you're just throwing money away there by closing us down. So there were all these aspects. So flash forward, I get everybody in the outlet to sign the letter, and I hand deliver it to what's called the planning committee, like 10 people in the corporate offices there on property.
Okay.
And they read the letter, and the next day I walk in to work, and the head of revenue stops me in the hallways. I'm clocking in and says, did you write that letter? I was like, yeah, I wrote the letter. He said, I got to tell you, everybody's talking about it. And, you know, literally, then I go upstairs, and I'm getting ready to work as head waiter of this particular outlet. And the F&B manager, food and beverage manager, comes in, and the HR manager, and they say, well, we are reconsidering our decision. We're going to take a closer look at this. And she says, well, I just want to say, I don't know who wrote this letter, but I want to tell you all that it was the finest letter of its kind I've ever read. So what it kind of made me realize is I just see things so holistically, hence my discovery process that I sort of outlined at the top. I just love solving the problems. My butt was on the line there.
Yeah,
so
right.
I had to, but it sort of made me go, you know, I just need to take all this creative aspect of what I enjoy doing, just the creative process, and marry it with the fact that I just see things that other people don't see, don't want to see, aren't looking for.
It's a great trait. I mean, and it's a good trait to bring to this kind of business, because you could be almost like a wedding photographer guy and just, okay, I'm just going to record this and
right,
and then press stop, and then you can have a video. But the whole sort of acting background and creative background brings, right, I think, a whole nother level to the craft, I would think, you know?
Well, there's something to be said for studying Shakespeare.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
So what makes us different? It's that when you call the video guy, they're just going to say, yeah, okay, we can make that video you want, and here's how much it'll cost. But 90% of the time, they're not going to go and sit down with you and really figure out the whole picture and know that they're helping you make the right video and showing you how to use that video,
right,
and how to make sure you get the ROI and how to create a video marketing strategy. No, they're not doing all that. So here's the, that's us. That's the value add.
So it's Arti Media, right? ARTIE.
Yeah. ArtiMedia.com, ArtiMedia.com.
Very good. And how do people get a hold of you?
Pick up the phone, you know, fill out the form on the website, send me a direct email at TalkSoon, TalkSoon, at ArtiMedia.com.
I have one more question.
Please.
What's the time investment average for a company comes to you, we need at least one spot, one good video, one branded video. Mm-hmm. What's the investment of time?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it has to do with your availability and the availability of all the subject matter experts that you might want to put on film and just basically wrangling that schedule. But the other part of it would be the writing and script development process, which I prefer to handle because I will tell you that most companies who come tell us that they're going to handle that.
Mm.
And then you get a look at what they have. And let's say they are going to interview four people and they've written two questions that they're going to ask everybody. I'm like, no, I'll take it from here.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
I got to write the 10 questions and really just figure out how do we elicit the responses that we build a dream script? How do we get what we want? How do we get your people to say what your prospects need to hear?
Right.
Because what you want to say and what your prospects need to hear may be slightly different.
Yeah.
So yeah, time investment, you know, we can turn something around literally in 2 weeks if it's a known quotient. If it's just capturing, let's say, event-based material, let's say a subject matter expert giving a presentation. Well, you know, we can put two or three cameras on that and pipe in the slides and make that palatable so you can repurpose that common theme here. Or we can spend a little bit more time and say, well, let's say you're an IP firm and, you know, we really want to understand your culture and understand how you differentiate yourself in your industry. Well, we are going to spend the time. We're going to write all those questions to talk about your culture, talk about what makes you different, talk about what makes you excel in your space. We're going to come in, maybe we can do that in one day, film all those people, do all those interview sessions, go out in the area, let's say in Kendall Square, and go and shoot some wonderful sort of metaphorical B-roll.
Some B-roll,
some coverage that helps us expound upon that message. So it varies. Yeah, sometimes we can turn around 2 weeks, and sometimes, yeah, it's could be 60 to 90 days. Just depends. How many different places are we going? How many different people are we going to do it? How many days are we going to shoot on there? Are they consecutive days? So many balls in the air. But that's what we do. You know, we keep them all in the air. And we help you figure that out.
Awesome. Darren Fitzgerald, Arti Media, ArtiMedia.com. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Once again, that was Darren Fitzgerald of Arti Media. If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit that subscribe button, leave a review, and share with your friends. The Workspace Podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If you have any interest in podcasting, don't hesitate to reach out. I can be found at info@workspacema.com. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you on the next one.